Mos Eisley. Coming to you from the Outer Rim seediest spaceport on Twin Suns Radio, I'm Wally Jax.
And I'm Vivid Zanzini. You can find a simulcast in Hut Tees on 103.9 The Womp Rat. Blistering day in the forecast, 148 degrees is your high in galactic standard temperature with only a 9% chance of sandstorms. Punishing high temperatures and a potential Tusken uprising put the projected homicides on the Vendetta Index at a brutal 42 deaths today.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by the 239th Mos Eisley Jazz Festival. It's that time of year again, when on hot, steamy Tatooine nights, the air is filled with sweet, sweet jizz.
Some of the biggest jizz whalers in the biz will be visiting this year's festival. Sticky Finger and Dan and the Two Fingers, Pace Tongo and the Probes, Zemo Star and the Shockers, and of course the legendary Max Rebo are just some of the names that you'll see at this year's festival.
Also, musicians from across the Outer Rim will pay tribute to legendary jizz icon Krennic Jansen, who passed away two seasons ago after a death stick overdose. Hard to believe this will be the first festival in 113 years without Krennic's sweet jizz. Vivid?
That's really hard to swallow, Wow. In other news from around the galaxy, it seems there is a disturbance at the new Hoth Ice Sports Vacation Resort. We go now to Lester R. Porter, who is live on scene.
That's right, Vivid. After Galactic Civil War, this once remote planet that harbored the rebellion against the Empire was purchased by a billionaire, Bracken Stardust, and turned it into one of the galaxy's most exclusive vacation resorts. But now, a dark shadow has been cast over these snowy white fields. A shadow in the shape of a Wampa. In recent weeks, there has been an influx of Wampa attacks. Reports indicate that these attacks are not random and are being orchestrated and led by a one-armed Wampa. A guest was able to capture this footage.
What is that?
It looks like some kind of white horn-faced Wookiee. Oh, by the stars! It's coming right for us!
Fortunately, both of the individuals in that hollow survived. After a few days in the Bacta tank, we will continue to follow this story as it unfolds. Back to you, Vivid and Wow.
Well, I guess it's safe to say those two Wampa be going back to Hoth anytime soon.
Senator Droma Tragon from Inark is considering enacting emergency powers to build a force field blockade around his planet without Senate approval. Citing an influx of smugglers and a rise in criminal activity and illegal substances, including spice, Senator Tragon insists this blockade is essential in securing peace for his planet due to his proximity to the lawless Outer Rim, and has even suggested the Hutt cartel will pay for the blockade. In a recent interview with Senator Tragon, he states, "The entire galaxy knows I'm the best for blockades. Ask anybody. Ask anybody in the Senate. They'll all tell you. My blockades are the best blockades, okay? Alright, this will be the best blockade in the galaxy. Big, beautiful blockade. And the rest of the galaxy will wish they had a blockade like ours. Alright? And the Hutts are going to pay for it. This I promise." We'll be back with sports and more news from around the galaxy in just a bit. All right, well, thank you for listening to Good Morning, Mos Eisley. I'm Wesley. Dave is here with me. We got a great show coming up, a lot of great stuff to talk about, some fun skits, some interesting news and rumors. First of all, Dave, how you doing?
I'm doing just fine, man. It was a little bit of a fun week, both for Star Wars rumors and for the backlash that I received from said Star Wars rumors that didn't involve me, but somehow I was in the crossfire. You know, I like to think I shoot first, but this time I was all Greedo. I was just fucking.
Yeah,
I was just laying on the table, just smoke billowing out of me. You know, no one even paid the bartender for the mess that was left of me.
Did you get like a nice, I guess we should talk about what happened because it is really, really funny. I feel like you kind of got a brief glimpse into what Rian Johnson's life has been like for a little over a year now.
Yeah, super brief. So there was a website that's called Super Bro Movies. And some of you guys who listen to this know I run a podcast, Super Movie Bros. Super Bro Movies, Super Movie Bros. I can see where the confusion can come in. They had apparently run a story that Rian Johnson's trilogy had been scrapped by Disney and that he was fired. And most of this was due to the backlash of fans over The Last Jedi. However, Ryan Johnson, very active on Twitter, always responds when you at him in anything, jumped right on top of that and said, this is not true. This is false. This is fact. None of this is going on. As always happens when Ryan Johnson's tweeting, Star Wars fans that both vehemently despise him and Star Wars fans that vehemently defend him with their firstborn child's life as a human shield jump to his side. And then there was like this little argument, and like me and you in a chat were just discussing it, and kind of tertiary on the outside, we're just laughing at it a little bit. Come the weekend, apparently a couple other internet movie news publications had run stories about, super bro movies and their story, and they linked them there. Other ones, lesser known ones, picked up that story and then ran with their story and then linked super movie bros as the ones who said that.
Oh, so you actually got linked of these.
So it bumped my downloads up just like a smidge.
That's sexy though.
Nothing crazy. But what it also did was, I guess some of the people who were late to this argument, because this is about 3 or 4 days after this whole debacle came about, I started getting Twitter DMs from people. You see someone follow you, you follow them back, and then there's something up when you follow them back and you immediately got a DM. They're either a bot throwing you an advertisement, or they got an axe to grind. And boy, howdy, was their Gamorrean axe sharp. Because they were immediately jumping down my throat and I had to explain myself. It's just like, I'm not that guy. I didn't report that. I didn't even comment on anything in there. Well, I did, but it was only to make fun of super bro movies and their name being so similar to ours. Just a little rib, just a little jest. And then I just told them I had nothing to do with it. And if they continued talking, I just blocked them. A few of them apologized. A few of them just never said another word, and I just blocked them. So it was a fun week. It was good.
Yeah.
It was good. So that's how my week in Star Wars started.
Wow. Not a good start. Yeah, I'm slightly jealous, though. I kind of want to be accidentally embroiled in Star Wars controversy, which I think I don't think it'll take too long of this show running that we'll on purpose getting embroiled in Star Wars controversy. So I think I'll have my fair share eventually.
It's only because of the name similarity between my podcast and their website. And there's, we've had a good laugh at this, me and you, a few times, where we've searched other podcasts who have similar names to Super Movie Bros. There's Super Film Bros, Super Mexi Bros, there's a lot of different Super Something Bros out there. And obviously, my name is a riff off of Super Mario Bros, so it stands to reason that there would be some confusion, some crossover. All I gotta do is wait the rest of them out. I'm like Master Yoda, man. Just get to 900 years old and wait out the entire rest of the competition.
Miraculously, knowing me, this is, well, okay, I've avoided a lot of controversy. Now, if you're talking about DMs, I've been in plenty of controversial DMs in my time, but I've in terms of the larger Twitterverse, I've pretty much avoided it, which I guess, I don't know. Like I said, I'm a little jealous. I kind of want to be, I just kind of want to have some controversy in my life, I think. Let's jump in and talk about, obviously we've discussed your controversy this week, but
yeah.
This week in Star Wars, what you got, Dave?
So I've been still playing a lot of Battlefront. I know the game came out well over a year ago. They're still adding new content. So I've been playing to save up credits, and in-game credits can purchase you new characters and new ships, heroes to play in the game. So I do have all the heroes unlocked, but on February 27th, they're going to be releasing Anakin in the Clone Wars model into the game. He will be on the heroes side in battles, so you can unlock him. And I got my 35,000 credits already in the bank waiting for February 27th. I will pop on and I will purchase my Anakin. And I think that is the last DLC that they're going to be doing to support that. I fully expect that they're going to announce some new Star Wars video game properties in the future at Celebration. So I look forward to the news coming out, because I'm not crazy with the way EA has handled it. They've had it for going on
3 years now, and or 4 years now, and they've produced two video games, and they've canceled all the other video games that were in production. They brought Amy Hennig over from Naughty Dog, who wrote some brilliant stories over there, and was involved in the making of the best, you know, third-person shooters on the PS4, the Uncharted series, and The Last of Us. So they brought her over to write a third-person shooter for Star Wars. It got scrapped. It's no longer in production. And they had a slew of other games that were in talks in production that are no longer on the table. So they're just going to continue with the Battlefront series, if that, you know. So we want to hear whether they might be moving forward after EA's contract is up very soon. But we'll see. Disney doesn't seem too interested in the video game market. Me and you listened in to the shareholder meeting, and video games did come up. And Bob Iger, it's like he wanted to say that they were going to explore new avenues, but he caught himself and just stepped back. And he kind of like, que sera, sera.
He said that in the past we haven't done video games well. Yeah. We just haven't. And right. It's overall, I mean, there's exceptions, but overall that's pretty much true. Disney's never done well with that.
Yeah. And then other than that, I started listening to an audiobook. It's Dark Lords of the Sith. It is about the Ryloth uprising and opposition to the Empire, and Darth Vader being dispatched to squash it. A lot of it is POV chapters for Syndulla, which is the father of Hera Syndulla, who is the pilot of the Ghost in Rebels. He is the leader of the Ryloth uprising, and it's his point of view versus Vader's point of view. And it's very interesting. I always love Vader point of view. I mean, like, Vader point of view is like Batman, you know, like Batman's inner monologue is so good in some comic books, especially like in the late 80s. It's very the same for Darth Vader. Like when you get like the Darth Vader solo comic book series is fantastic over at Marvel. So when you get inside, I love the way like different writers like take a look inside, like what's under the hood, you know, like he's a black Corvette, what's he got under the hood? And yeah, he, every time he meets the Emperor, you know, he thinks of like different ways of like killing him and stuff like that, and he's waiting until he learns enough from him to become stronger so that he doesn't need him. And it's very Sithy, and I like that. I like the Sithness of it. And then finally, I am back to watching Resistance, and they had the first episode that I truly liked.
Oh, okay.
Episode number 17.
That's pretty good.
Poe comes and takes, God, what's his name? Zandu? Who cares? The kid's name is ridiculous.
Xanadu.
And they go to a part in the galaxy where they've noticed a lot of First Order activity, and when they get there, they find what they call a bunch of worlds that have been cored, and it just looks like something had gone right through them and broke them all in half, and they find one with a perfect circle through it, and you know, it's very clear that it was the first weapons test of Starkiller Base. So yeah.
Oh, okay.
So they're starting to get there, and Poe actually takes BB-8 away from our main character, and because he's going on a mission to Jakku, so he needs BB-8 back. So they're actually right there, very close to the beginning of The Force Awakens, which means they're very close to The Last Jedi, because that takes place 3 or 4 days after The Force Awakens. So
golly. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'll eventually probably get around to giving it a chance. I don't see myself watching the whole series, but why not? It's Star Wars.
It's not worth
Star Wars
it yet. I'll be honest. It's really not. It's still not. Yeah. It's just not there. It's not Rebels. Like, Rebels didn't catch me right up front in the first season. It started getting me in the second season when they added Ahsoka. And same for, like, Clone Wars. I watched it because it was Star Wars, and I wasn't really loving it until the third season when they kind of aged everybody up and they brought it closer to Revenge of the Sith. So,
yeah, I'm kind of holding up for Clone Wars, and that's kind of what I'm looking out for now, because I haven't felt the need to get into Resistance. But I'll tell you, this week, my week in Star Wars, this is really cool. So I think I sent you pictures of this. I can't remember. So been looking for some places around here for collectibles. I've been kind of flirting with kind of getting into that a little bit. I've never been much to collect figures or anything like that, but I just kind of been feeling this itch. And earlier in the week, they released pictures that Hasbro is going to be releasing special edition Phantom Menace figures at Celebration. I was really jealous because I can't go to Celebration. I wanted to initially, but my kid's going to be born too close to that, so I can't go. And even though Phantom Menace isn't my favorite Star Wars movie, it's far from it. It's something about it makes me feel super nostalgic. So,
well, I mean, we were prime age to have toys sold to us in 1999.
Oh, like, yeah.
That marketing was, we were all over it at our age then. So.
And it was our first experience with a new Star Wars film, too.
It was. Like, yeah.
First time we'd ever been through that. So it was really exciting. So
we're old hats at it now, you know?
Yeah, I know.
We've been through the ringer. You know, we got through Solo. We can get through anything, man.
Yeah. I've seen some shit, man.
So, hey, new PG-13 format, Wes. You're going to have to beep yourself out there.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah, I could do that. So, anyway, I went to this store called Cro-Mag Comics. I found it online. It's literally a mile from my house.
Please tell me it has a picture of, like, a man ape just dragging knuckles on it because it's called Cro-Mag.
Yeah, actually, yeah, it does. Yeah.
I miss my calling for advertising.
Yeah, there you go. Actually, there's a store beside it called, this is hilarious, called Avail Vape. And I thought it said, I read the sign really quick. I thought it said anal vape. And I thought a really good slogan for that would be blowing out your ass. But anyway, so I went into the store.
Right across the street is Standing Upright Comics, Bipedal Creature Comics.
Yeah. If it just nothing but Cro-Magnon comics in there. Nothing but, yeah, Neanderthal porn. It's crazy. So anyway, I went in there, and this guy, apparently, I didn't know this was such a big thing in the toy industry, but when Toys R Us closed down, apparently all these toy stores went They went crazy. They went absolutely crazy. And so I went in there, and he was selling, like, the baskets from Toys R Us for like $20.
Oh yeah,
and people were buying them. So, but the cool thing he had, apparently back in 1997 when Star Wars kind of launched their whole bring back Star Wars thing in the 90s, and they right before the special editions came out.
Oh, you're talking about like 1996, 1997. That's Shadows of the Empire, man.
Yeah,
I had that entire toy line.
Right.
I still got my Dash Rendar Outrider sitting right in front of me.
Jeez. Well, this guy he's selling it for $3,500. A 6 foot long, 5 foot wide Millennium Falcon. It was a display from Toys R Us. And it is insane. Like, I saw it on the picture, but the girl standing beside it for scale was really short. So I'm like, how big is this thing really? And I went in there and I'm like, oh my God. So he measured it for me. It's ridiculous.
I'm just picturing you as like Thorny in Super Troopers. You walk in there with sunglasses on and you slowly take them off and you go, Mother of God.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it felt like. He's got a lot of cool stuff. He was selling he was sending a G.I. Joe battleship to Australia for somebody. But yeah, I went in there.
Duty Dutrum. Really nice.
Probably is duty. Probably is duty. I almost thought that too. I'm like, I probably know the guy you're sending that to. So.
Does he live in Melbourne? It's duty.
Yeah. But yeah, we talked Phantom Menace for a while and talked about the fact that, you know, those toys were coming out. And I was really jealous. He goes, oh, and he gave me a Darth Maul. He gave me a really so I got a figure. It's a Darth Maul Phantom Menace figure, and I'm like, well, now shit, I got to get more.
You know
so,
what he was doing, right?
Oh yeah, I know.
He's
what
now
doing.
Your dealer. You're hooked.
Oh, exactly.
You're hooked. The first taste is for free, but you're hooked now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Every paycheck, now, you're gonna come in. You're gonna be like, I can probably afford about 50. No, $75 worth of swag. What you got?
Yeah, I'm trying to avoid that. But yeah, he gave me this, it's the actual 1999 Darth Maul 3.75 figure, and it's got the little thing at the bottom of it that you're supposed to plug into another thing, and you can hear him talk, because that's what they did in 1999.
Yeah, but everything had to be electronic, right? Like, I remember they had the hand that, like, lit up, like, a lot of the toys. So, like, if they held a lightsaber, the lightsaber glowed inside and had, like, an LED inside of it. Thank God we've gotten away from that stuff, because the little battery inside, like, always just, like, rots and then, like, leaks out of your figure somewhere, like, the arm or the crotch area, and it gets, like, a big white stain.
Yeah. Which is horrible.
Which is horrible. How am I supposed to display that? Well, Jar Jar got a little happy.
Yeah.
There's a button.
You just don't want to go into a Darth. You don't want to go into a lightsaber duel, and all of a sudden it's like, hey, what's on your pants, Qui-Gon? Oh, it's nothing. I don't know why Qui-Gon sounds like this in this alternate world.
Because
but
he's a man with a particular set of skills, Wes. He doesn't need to answer about his stains.
I don't know who you are, but I will find you, and I will kill you. Yeah, so there we go. Well, yeah, good week in Star Wars. This week, we'll go into news and speculation here in a second, because we have a lot to cover, because this week is nuts. The week before was pretty crazy when we had our off week between shows. And it's just, now you're starting to really see that 2019 is going to be bonkers.
Right.
It's going to be, like, from Celebration on, it's going to be absolutely insane.
Oh, it's going to get super busy. And there's going to be a lot of stuff that you have to, like, you can dip your toe in and read some of the rumors, but do your best not to take a lot of them to heart. Because what me and Wes want to do is kind of like present our take on the rumors more so than present you the rumors as fact or anything. Because I remember back when The Last Jedi, when all this stuff was going on around The Last Jedi, we knew nothing about it. We didn't even know its name. We just knew that Laura Dern's character was going to be a spy, right? Like that was the big rumor. She was going to be a spy. She's a spy. She's a bad guy. And she has a ship. She doesn't trust people. Her ship is run by droids.
Oh, and the other one was that DJ. Well, the character that ended up being DJ, but Benicio Del Toro's character was a political adversary.
Right.
To
right.
Leia. That was the other one.
And then the other rumors were that he was Ezra Bridger from Rebels.
Which I actually kind of liked. I'm not even going to lie.
I kind of liked but it. That's not what we got.
<It's not. laughs> So with that, I think we're going to let you hear a word from our sponsors, and then we're going to jump right in to news and rumors.
Moisture Harvesters, is your evaporator on the fritz? Have you lost your protocol droid to the Tusken Raiders? Well, fret no more. Call the Moisture Mechanics Association of Tatooine and bring the harvest in on time. No credit, no problem. Get on our indentured servitude program today. Moisture Farmers Association of Tatooine is a subsidiary of Hutt Cartel Incorporated.
All right, so
hazy and smelled.
Yeah.
Supposedly Rian Johnson asked him to not do that.
You know what?
And Benicio Del Toro was like, yeah, you hired me.
I absolutely believe that because when I first saw that, I'm like, this is totally his idea.
Yeah.
It seemed like an actor would do something like that. Like, this is going to be great.
Well, like, he improvised the entire, like, White Rabbit scene in Fear and Loathing.
Oh, yeah. But that movie makes sense for him because he's kind of crazy. And I love Benicio Del Toro. Love him.
Oh, shit. You didn't eat all that acid, did you? You better pray to God there's some Thorazine in that bag. White Rabbit, throw it in the tub. It's crescendo. White Rabbit. Man.
Like, they should have known what they were getting into.
Yeah.
Like, they should have known.
Like, this is the dude that was not told to put on weight for Fear and Loathing and then proceeded to use that as an excuse to eat cheeseburgers for, like, 6 months leading up to it. Shows up hugely round and is just like, this is my vision.
I would have to look up the actual trivia on this. I don't have anything to back this up, but I have a sneaking suspicion that the scene in Sicario where he puts his junk in the guy's face, I feel like that was his idea too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's just like, I feel like I'm a wolf, and I need to show my dominance. And how wolves show dominance. Also, fact, not how wolves show dominance. How wolves show dominance is they press their genitals into another wolf's face. Nope.
I don't think that's accurate, Benicio. No, it is. It's definitely.
It's true. I saw a documentary really drunk.
Yeah, I saw it on BBC.
Yeah, it was done by what's his name, Richard Alden.
Yeah, Richard Alden.
And then Benicio unzipped his pants and pressed his junk straight into the cartel member's face, clearly asserting his dominance. Let's watch. Oh, that's a good one. We should do nature documentaries too.
Yeah. All right. Oh, yeah. Those Star Wars nature documentaries. Oh, my God. We're going to write that.
The dragon was so thirsty. He had come out of his cave to travel to find a mate. No mate could be found. And he lay there and became one with the sand. Till his bones were disturbed by a golden droid marching through the desert.
It's beautiful. I like how you brought that full circle there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to do pork mating season. I've got my dibs on that one.
Yeah.
Oh, actually,
Can we do Wookiee Jawa mating season?
No, I've got Wookiee mating season for sure, because it's going to be like, and...
He's braided his pubic hairs to show he's ready to mate. The real mystery is figuring out what hairs on a Wookiee are pubic hairs.
So with that, it's a crazy week. I feel like the place we should start, it's the most obvious one, it's the least exciting one. Well, it is exciting, but probably the most known one. Least juiciest is that Star Wars, you know, accomplished its principal photography. It's done with principal photography. So I think this is a good thing.
See, I think this is the most interesting to me because I'm a marketing guy. Like, I love marketing for movies. Like,
I do too.
It's like, it's not like a science, but like in a way it is. Like, there's entire companies in Hollywood that are set up to cut trailers and sell you stuff.
It's ingrained into the nostalgia and it's part of the experience. It really is.
And I wasn't crazy about The Last Jedi's marketing. I didn't think that was as good as The Force Awakens. God, The Force Awakens was so good. Just with the slow build up to the music, BB-8 rolling across the desert, Finn's face, and then like immediately everyone was on. There's a black stormtrooper. There's a black stormtrooper. There's a black stormtrooper.
And he breathes every time we see him.
Yeah. And then, we get, like, an explosion, and then it just shows an empty sky. And then you just hear the Millennium Falcon just roaring up, and it flies up. And then they hit you with the full Star Wars score. The Millennium Falcon does that awesome, like, loop, flip, and just starts firing its turbo lasers right at a TIE fighter, and it just says, Star Wars. It was the best way to, like, start that marketing off.
Oh, God. I was, you know, obviously just so ingrained in everything that was going on with Star Wars, and I could not wait for that trailer. And when it happened, that morning, I couldn't remember the exact thing that happened, but something happened with my wife's car, and I was actually back home. I was like 2 hours away from where I live right now visiting family, and something happened to her car, so we had to go get it fixed. So I was in a car shop, and I was sitting there just waiting for her car to get fixed, and that's when the trailer dropped. And I'm like, I'm watching it on my phone right now. Like, I couldn't wait. I was like, part of me should wait to get into a better location to watch this. I couldn't
do it. Sir, your brakes are done. Your brakes are done. If you disturb me during Star Wars one more time, so help me God, I'll test those brakes on your face.
Yeah, that's pretty much where I was at. And I remember seeing that and being like, oh my God. And it was just amazing. But the second trailer took it to another level.
Yeah, it did.
And, with Chewie were home. And, I guess you're going to start seeing that stuff roll out. But, I mean...
Can I be honest? I still get teared up. Like, if I watch that trailer now, like, if I go on YouTube and I watch that Chewie were home, and we get, like, that Harrison Ford-ness.
Yeah.
It makes me tear up a little bit when I'm just like, he's talking to me.
A lot of people consider that the best trailer ever. Yeah. I always consider the trailers for the original Transformers movies with Michael Bay the best trailers ever, because no matter how bad you knew that movie was going to be, part of you was like, God, I want to see this.
Yeah.
I kind of want to see this.
For anyone our age who grew up with Gen 1 Transformers. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. But the reason that like it wrapping gets me excited, it's because they're cutting a trailer right now. They have all the footage. They're in post-production.
I think it's done.
So yeah, it 100% is. And that's what gets me excited. But then also the set photo has me like a little excited because of the desert backdrop in the closing photo with Daisy Ridley, John Boyega, and Oscar Isaac all embracing in a hug on the final day of shooting. There's a desert backdrop to it. That doesn't mean that the movie ends here, but at some point in the story, they will be either back at Jakku or on Tatooine. And I get excited for that because I like them going back there. I'm feeling a lack of Tatooine, right? The only movie
I am a little.
We didn't get Tatooine in all of Star Wars is Empire Strikes Back. It's the only one without Tatooine in it. But I could see where they want to go back to Jakku because that's where Rey started, and it might feel a little graining if they go to Tatooine in this, and then people, why not Jakku, right? Because we've seen a desert planet, and it's not like Star Wars like puts up bubble letters that says like the planet of this. They did it in Solo, but they don't normally do it, you know, like where they, like letters come up on screen to tell you what planet they're on. This is Hoth. This is, they don't do that. The only way that we would know that they're on Tatooine is through dialogue. But that might be weird to some people who are watching this trilogy, so they're probably back to Jakku in it. And I just want to know what's there. There's a lot of rumors going around that Daisy Ridley's father will not make an appearance, but be talked about heavily. There's reportedly a scene where Rey is talking with both Finn and Poe at some point, and they're talking about their backgrounds, like where they come from. And somehow a conversation gets brought up about Rey's parents. Now, I don't know how that comes about. I don't know what new information Rey has then that she didn't have in the previous films. But that's a rumor that conversation will happen, and that might be an inciting incident or reason for him to go back to Jakku.
Yeah. I don't want to get too much into this because it kind of is linked more to another rumor that we're going to talk about in a minute. But they have said that they have built a version of the Lars homestead at Pinewood. Now, that could be for this project, or that could be for another project we're going to talk about. More likely the other. But I don't think Tatooine will play a huge role in this film, but I think it's going to show up. I think we're going to get like I wouldn't be surprised if it ends up there. And a lot of people think that the MacGuffin in the film, that what I've heard is that there's a MacGuffin that everybody starts going for, and then that turns into another one, and that's the big twist and the big reveal.
Okay, so it's a race, just like the original one was like the race to Luke Skywalker, right?
Right.
Was the Force Awakens. This one is the race to this MacGuffin, and Kylo and his Knights of Ren and the First Order are after it, and so are our heroes and the Resistance.
Yeah, that's what it's starting to sound like. But I agree with you. A lot of people looked into the to that set photo. Now, my personal opinion on that end of photography photo, I kind of felt like it was not from the actual shoot. I kind of felt like it was more of a Vanity Fair getting ready to do an expose, and they had everybody there, and they took some pictures of everybody.
They were just out in Joshua Tree, you know.
They're probably in Jordan, yeah. But I mean, I don't think I have a sneaking feeling that was more for a promotional shoot. But I'm probably wrong. It's just speculation, so I have no idea.
It's all speculation.
It's just fun.
All right, what other news stories you got other than that wrap? Well, also Mandalorian wrapped too. At that, no.
So it's wrapped.
It has wrapped. Yeah, Mandalorian's principal photography for season one has wrapped. They are now going into effects and post production on The Mandalorian. So it has wrapped principal photography.
One not very juicy rumor, but little tidbit I picked up about The Mandalorian kind of confirms exactly what I thought, which it's not hard to convey this from the photo that we got, but this movie is going to be this TV series is going to be heavily influenced by Westerns.
Heavily influenced.
Because they call them Huckleberry.
The first photo we got, right, of the main character who, like Pedro Pascal, will be playing him, it looked like Sergio Leone. Like it looked like a Sergio Leone character standing in Mandalorian armor, but like in a Star Wars universe. So I like that. I think it's the perfect place for kind of like a story about a Mandalorian or a gunslinger, really, to exist. So that's pretty cool.
I agree. Yeah, I think that's good. I'm really, really looking for The Mandalorian. I can't wait till Celebration we know more about it. And it's got a great... I can't even remember all the people in it all of a sudden. But
I'm marginally more excited for The Mandalorian. In the same way that, like, after The Force Awakens, I was a little bit more excited for Rogue One. Because I want to see these branching stories that they plan on doing over there at Disney, because I feel like the episodic adventures are always going to make them money. Like anytime you're continuing the story of Star Wars that we got, you know, back in 77, 80, and 83, you're going to put butts in seats. But I think what they do with the larger world is more important and shows more about the company itself and its direction with the franchise. So I get a little bit more excited for that stuff, because to me it's more new, it's more and it gives me a little bit more insight of how this property is going to be treated going forward after the episodic adventures are complete.
Yeah, it's correct me if I'm wrong, but it's supposed to take place directly after Return of the Jedi, right?
I'm not sure if any of that is 100% confirmed.
Yeah, I've heard that, and if that's true, that's the element I'm most excited about, because that's the one era of Star Wars that I've always wanted to see explored on screen. Like right after the Empire is kind of vanquished and there's that power vacuum.
Yeah, man. You gotta play Battlefront 2. Play through the story of Battlefront 2.
I need a PlayStation 4. Like I'm dying to get it. And I've seen, you know, the cutscenes from that, and I kinda know what it's leading to. But I need, from what I understand, that story's not very canonized. Like it's kind of like
It is 100% canon.
Oh, it is.
I don't know what level of canon it would be. We used to have film level, which was G level. That was George level canon. Then we had T level, which was television. Then we had book level and all that. But all that went away when the EU went away. And I'm not entirely sure, you know, going forward, how they will treat canon mishaps and stuff like that. But it was meant to be canon at the time. And Lando is pretty brilliant in it, if I do say so myself.
Well, that is a good segue to our next topic, because I've kind of combined three new stories, and it's mostly confirming around Star Wars, centered around Star Wars Celebration. So we got the big news. You know, last time we recorded, there was a lot of things up in the air. We're getting a title, we're getting a trailer. We both said that we won the trailer at Celebration. We thought that was better, and that's what we're getting. So we're getting a trailer at Celebration, plus we're getting awesome 20th anniversary Phantom Menace figures from Hasbro, and Billy Dee Williams will be at Celebration, so that's exciting.
Well, what have we here?
Can't wait.
You truly belong with us here among the clouds.
Such a smoothie.
God. I love Billy Dee. Mainly just for how much he loves Star Wars and his embracing of the fans. And I was very happy. I knew once they said JJ was coming back to direct this one, I was just... Yeah, he's going to put Billy Dee in it, because there's nothing more nostalgic that J.J. Abrams could do than that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially considering, you know, they kind of lost something. Well, I mean, they lost a lot when, obviously, Carrie Fisher passed away. But, and for the story, you know, we talked about this before, that this was supposed to be Leia's story, probably. So, having Lando there kind of fills that void a little bit, so you can bring another nostalgic character in the play. And there's a lot of rumors that I can't remember her name, might be his daughter. One of the main characters, the new characters in the film, might be his daughter. So
I was this is something that I psyched myself up for, so being disappointed by it is my own fault. When in The Last Jedi they're saying, like, we'll put the signal out there and someone will answer our call, someone will come to help, I really expected it to be Lando. I expected Lando, the movie to end with Lando kind of like getting the signal and being like, he's a pocket of the resistance. He's running a secret pocket of the resistance. And that would be perfect. It wouldn't have been so fitting if Lando was actually the man behind Canto Bight?
Oh my God, it would have been, actually.
Because he's a savvy businessman, you know? He bought a Tobinus gas mine and on this little known world and built a city around it and everything. Built this small world around it. And in the books, in the old EU, he was always looking for, like, a new settlement, a new deal, somewhere to make more money. And he took old Imperial AT-AT walkers. I say AT-ATs. I don't say AT-ATs because I don't say AT-ST when I talk about an AT-ST. So I say AT-AT. Sorry.
That's fine. I agree.
So he took a bunch of AT-ATs, and he basically built, like, this platforming. And, like, it worked on – it was basically a city that walked across a planet. And as they were a mine, but they had to constantly stay out of the sun, because the sun got so hot on that planet, it was basically the surface of Mercury, that it would scorch everything. So he basically made a mining colony out of hundreds of AT-ATs, and they walked the city on a platform, basically like immortal engines, and stayed out of the sun. And it was really cool, like, just the way they described it, just like a bunch of AT-ATs just working, you know, in unison, all these AT-ATs just walking in unison. I was like, that's perfect.
Dang. I didn't know about that.
So Canto Bite. I thought, it's going to be him. He's the one behind it. And like, how more devices would that have been, right? If it's like, but he's a good guy, but he's selling stuff to the bad guy. He's all about money, baby. It's all about making the cheddar.
Which is what Han and Lando were. I mean, it's debatable how much they changed after the events of the original trilogy, but obviously not enough to where, I mean, Han was kind of getting back in his old ways, obviously, in Force Awakens, so.
Well, yeah, when you go through a traumatic experience like what happened with your son and your marriage falling apart, you have to go back to something that's familiar. That's what every guy would do after a divorce or a loss like that, is go back to what they know, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And then he goes back to smuggling.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited for Lando. I'm excited to see. I think what I really want to know right now, I think the biggest things, I don't want to know exactly what happens. I like that I'm getting tidbits without knowing anything. I'm just getting kind of information that you could piece together. I would kind of like, I just want to know who the new characters are. I don't need to know what their motive is, how they fit in it. I just want to know, is this one, you know, okay, so Richard E. Grant, I want confirmation that he's a villain. I want to kind of know what Matt Smith is.
I mean, you,
I want to know what Kerry Russell is.
You feel you know what Matt Smith is, though, don't you? Like, you feel pretty strongly about it.
I feel like he's going to be a First Order officer or something with the Knights of Ren. He could be the guy that eventually convinces them to turn on Kylo Ren, because I could see him doing that.
Oh, 100%. I mean, we talked last time we were together about the rumor that Kylo was going to reforge his helmet, and it was going to be like these red seams where it was all broken and stuff like that. Now a new rumor has surfaced that it's actually not Kylo wearing that mask, that it's one of the Knights of Ren trying to usurp him. And the mask is his mask. While it was meant to be invocative of Vader and stuff like that, it was also done in the style of the Knights of Ren. Because if you look at the other six members of the Knights of Ren, we only saw them briefly in The Force Awakens. They all have sort of like distinctive masks, but in a similar style. That's what I'm thinking, that I don't know if Matt Smith is the guy behind the mask, but the Knights of Ren are going to play a large role in this. What the role will be in it, I don't know, but they're definitely going to be playing a large role, and I'm super excited for that, because I've been left wanting on that level. Right after The Force Awakens, we were all like, the Knights of Ren. Who are the Knights of Ren? What are the Knights of Ren? We got a brief glimpse of them. We got pictures of them in a little art book. And that was it, man. We know nothing about them after that. They didn't even touch on it in The Last Jedi. Not even a little bit.
You know what's it's weird about that? So we're almost, you know, we're a little over 3 years since The Force Awakens came out. So roughly 4 years ago, a little over 4 years ago, the first legitimate leak that I remember seeing on accident, I didn't mean to see it, on The Force Awakens was the concept art of the of the Knights of Ren and of Kylo Ren, and I thought it was bogus. And then when I saw the first trailer, that's when it hit me, like, oh, some of these leaks are true. And I went back to those leaks, and so I've been excited about those characters since then. And all we've really seen is just like a tiny, tiny glimpse. So if anything, I don't know if it was on purpose, I don't know if it was on accident, but they've definitely made us want those characters so much now. Like, we're all salivating, like, what are they? I mean, how cool Darth Maul was. It could potentially be five or six Darth Mauls with these medieval wet Star Wars versions of weapons, and it's going to be legit.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think, like, they'll probably have varying degrees of force sensitivity, but no matter what, they're all worshippers of the dark side in some way. And I think Kylo is the leader of them, because he is the strongest in the force, and you know, he's the only one that was strong enough to construct his own lightsaber. As poorly as he did it, he still did it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see how they handle that and see what they do with Donald Gleason's character, Admiral Hux.
See, I know everyone wants or is thinking that Kylo's going to make the turn and become Ben Solo again. I think Hux is the one that turns.
I think he might be the early MacGuffin.
Okay.
Like, I think he could be the one who's like, says there's this weapon that they're building, it's going to do all these things, It's really, really bad, and he's the one that leaks the information. He's the one that, because he's tired of Kylo Ren, he's tired of his BS getting pushed around, and Snoke's gone. I mean, what has he got to lose? I mean, he's already in a bad situation, exactly. So he might as well just try to, you know, fix it. So I definitely see that happening. So the last thing that we'll end with is there's conflicting reports on how definite this is. There's people say that this is definitely happening, and you know the rumors are all but confirmed. And there's people saying yes, yeah, probably going to happen, but it's not enough to confirm it yet. But it's at least enough for people like making Star Wars and Star Wars News Net to kind of start releasing some of this stuff. So that tells me it's at least something's in the works. But for a long time, we thought the other, you know, standalone project was going to be an Obi-Wan movie. And personally, me, I wasn't super excited about it, but I was definitely more excited about it than Solo. I thought that was a better opportunity for a standalone.
I think we all just wanted to see Ewan McGregor embody him again.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Because I think he did it really, really well. And he's an actor who came in and with a great respect for Alec Guinness. Who Alec Guinness himself just didn't have a great respect for the material that he was doing. Didn't realize that he was going to be in all those movies, and kind of gave a very like blasé approach to Star Wars. But then you get Ewan McGregor comes in, and he's trying to create a character in his own right, because it's a younger version of what Alec Guinness gave us, but he still tried to fit in so much of what Alec Guinness was in the original one. So like you see him do like these little mannerisms, like where he's just like stroking his beard in a certain way, or he inflects his voice in a certain way that's very evocative of how Alec Guinness did it. He did his work, right? Like, and you felt that from him. And I think because of that, people gravitated towards Ewan McGregor's portrayal of Obi-Wan and loved it. And we've wanted more ever since, and we never gotten it. And then you kind of started feeling like, well, Ewan McGregor is in, I believe, his early 50s now. But when filming, Alec Guinness was like 72. So it just wouldn't match up. So you had to do like this sort of like in-between look of them. But now he's like, Ewan McGregor has aged enough to do that in-between look and pull it off.
Yeah.
So I think it's an interesting time to do it, and it feels like the right time to do it. And Ewan McGregor's already said he's on board, you know?
So. Yeah. I think so the rumor is that it's going to be a TV series now. It's not going to be a movie anymore. It's the rumor is a 6-episode miniseries, which I think is a way better idea than a movie anyway.
And there's a lot of credence to that, because we know that everyone who was in Rogue One was signed to a 3-picture deal. Everyone who was in Solo was signed to a 3-picture deal. And we know that Diego Luna, Cassian Andor is getting his own show as well. Mm-hmm. And there was even some rumors that Alan Tunick, who keeps in touch with Diego Luna, you know, knows a fair bit about it, but he doesn't know whether he's in it yet or not.
And he's going to be at Star Wars Celebration, by the way.
Oh, Alan Tudyk. I love Alan Tudyk.
So, yeah, I always like him in The Knight's Tale. That's what I always think of him from. But
Wash in Serenity and Firefly, man. Oh God, we're all going to die.
Obi-Wan miniseries apparently happening, and there was all kinds of rumors tied to it. So it's hard to tell what's true. Like, there's all these rumors about a Leia TV series, which I think is bogus, because I don't think they're going to do any. Carrie Fisher's Leia, that's it. I don't think they're going to do anything without her.
No.
Other than a few maybe minor things.
I don't think fans want it. I just don't think fans would want it. I don't think we would accept it. I could see her popping up in like animation using like old Carrie Fisher lines and stuff like that, and getting permission to do that. But I don't want a Rogue One situation.
Where they're
doing that again. And I do like the idea of Obi-Wan becoming like a TV show, because I feel like this kind of opens the door a little bit to Star Wars, where like you're not waiting for the next season of The Mandalorian, right? Like The Mandalorian is a miniseries. It stands alone, and it's 6, 8, 10 episodes, whatever it is, and then it's gone. And then, you know, several months later, we get the Cassian Andor story and stuff like that. And then if there's more stories to tell, you could do a season 2 of it, but you're not beholden to it. You can tell like a miniseries story in there, and I love that. I love that idea. And there's a lot less pressure on them to tell these stories, right? You know, there's Disney doesn't have to be as involved with the creative process, because they're not worrying about opening box office, right? It'll always be streaming there on Disney Plus.
That's true. Yeah, they definitely have more wiggle room.
Exactly.
With these things, and they can experiment more, do different things. I am cautiously optimistic about the Obi-Wan series. Like you said, the most exciting thing is Ewan McGregor most likely coming back.
Yeah.
To do Obi-Wan. I think the things that scares me, it's the same thing with Rebels, it's the same thing with Clone Wars. The movies are the standard. So when you start putting stuff in between the movies and in and around the movies, it starts messing with canon. And sometimes it makes changes that are just like, I don't like that. You know, like with Rebels, I don't like that there's so many people running around the universe or the galaxy with lightsabers in between.
I get you. And you know, the fact that time travel now exists in Star Wars because of Rebels.
Oh, wait. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's just...
There's a Jedi time temple that they went into, and they can travel through the stream of the Force and go to significant moments look back on them. And so their time travel now exists in Star Wars thanks to Rebels. And I didn't hate that episode at all. I really enjoyed that episode. But then thinking about the repercussions of it, I was just like, well, you can bring Han back now. Do it.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing, too. It's you know, the movies can do that. The movies are the standard bearer. Like, no matter what people think, there's so many things in the Star Wars universe. There's the toys. There's the comics.
Did you just call it a standard bear?
Yeah, the standard bear.
What's the unstandard? Like what's the unstandard bear?
I don't know. Probably the old canon. the old EU. The standard bear. The standard bear, yeah.
You silly old bear.
Hey, boo-boo. Yeah, so Obi-Wan. I think I'm excited about it. Another thing I worry about, I'm not trying to be so cynical here, but I'm just being the realist here. You know, Bob Iger said himself, yeah, we took it a little too far with Star Wars early on. Like, they should have probably just done the Skywalker trilogy and then jumped onto...
Yeah, think about any relationship, right? Like, you know, you start a new relationship and you're all about each other. You're just all about each other. You're just all over each other, you know? You just can't
now,
stop doing it.
Now Disney Plus and Star Wars might be doing the same things too, so...
It's true. You know, it hasn't launched yet. September 2019, it will launch. It will launch this year. But it hasn't launched yet, and they're already... It's nice to know that they have a starting slate to go. The Mandalorian will be there day one. I believe they have... the Clone Wars will be on there day one, as far as Star Wars goes. And they have a slew of other Disney content that they're going to have available day one. And I think right now they have enough, right? Like, you have enough. You have a lot of irons in the fire right now. And Disney's already shown it's not afraid to pull the plug if something's just not going their way.
And it's going to work. It's going to work.
Yeah, it's going to work. But how much they put Star Wars content on there, I don't know. I don't know how much they will flood it with. I mean, up front, probably a lot. But if the ratings stagnate on it, as they've done with like Netflix, with Marvel on Netflix and stuff like that, if the juice isn't worth the squeeze making these big budget TV shows, they're not going to do them. I mean, a lot of these things where it's like they're in production on, they may be in production on one or two more Star Wars TV series after The Mandalorian. They're not going to start real production on them, you know, filming and paying people until they see how launch goes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And a lot of these rumors that we hear, I've said this before, I think I said on the last show, Disney leaks stuff on purpose. They throw little tidbits out there. Let's see what Twitter says. Let's see what Facebook says. Let's see what the fans say. Let's just throw that. Let's just, you know, let this little morsel out and see what happens with it. And then that gives them an idea of what to do. And I think when Solo happened, there was a lot of people who thought, okay, look, I'm going to go see it. It's Star Wars. I'm not happy about somebody else playing Han. I'm kind of weirded out by this whole thing. I don't think it's a great idea. And the box office showed that. And I think they thought, okay, well, people are really excited about this Obi-Wan thing, but do we want to go the same route and do the same thing again?
But if they bring Han back on a TV series, like they bring Aaron Albrecht back in a TV series role, I feel like the pressure is a little bit less, right? Because a lot more people are willing to tune out a TV show. I mean, there's a lot of Star Wars fans who tuned out the entire animated run of Star Wars and are just like,
yeah,
that's great that it exists. I understand it's canon and stuff, but I don't need to pay attention to it. And you don't. You 100% don't. It doesn't really affect the movies all that much. It's a nice little add-on if you want to go to it. But I would 100% check out Solo in like a TV series, and not even like a TV series about him, just where that character from Solo just exists in a TV series. He doesn't even need to be the star. I'm 100% on board for that, and I think the pressure is a lot less there.
Solo should have been an animated series. This is the only way to do it without making people like, oh, it's no Harrison Ford. Yeah, but it's animated. Oh, okay. You know,
I don't know if people would have bought that. I don't think there's enough people that buy into animation, because the second a lot of people see animation, they think little kids.
That's fair.
And you have to make it marketable to that crowd. You know, it's very rare that you get like a Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse or like Incredibles and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We were spoiled with great animated movies like this year. It's not always like that. You know, you get a lot of your Minions type stuff with animated features. So it's tough to get people's butts in the seats. And Lucasfilm already knows that by putting the Clone Wars first three episodes into the movie theater and not making money off of it at all.
That's true. But hey, we'll see how it goes. Just don't burn yourself out, Disney. You know, you and Disney Plus, just kind of hang out for a little bit, see how this works. Just ease into it, okay?
Well,
take it one step at a time.
One day the relationship will mature. They'll go to different colleges. You know, they'll see some other people, maybe.
Yeah, you never know how it'll work out.
And you know, if it was meant to be, they'll find each other again. But yeah, I don't want to get burned out on Star Wars, right? Like,
no, and it is possible. As much as we love it, I mean, it is possible. I mean, especially when, you know, the first, you know, 38 years of this was trilogy, then, you know, 19 years later another trilogy, or whatever, 16 years later another trilogy, and then it's another stagnant period for like a decade,
right?
And then you had some little stuff mixed in.
Yeah, unless you were literate and you were reading books on Star Wars, you weren't getting anything new. And as a big fan of the old EU, some of those stories are questionable.
Yeah. Oh God.
Questionable AF. You know.
Yeah. We should talk about another episode, the canon debacle, and whether it was a good decision. But anyway, Dave, anything you want to add before we head out of here? Any shout outs, any last sentiments that you want to share before we jump out of Mos Eisley?
No, I just want to encourage everybody to, again, reach out to us on the social medias. You know, reach out to Wes. He's running the Twitter. It's at GM Mos Eisley on Twitter, and reach out to me at SuperMoviePod. I'm on there. And just let us know what you think of the conversations we're having. We want to hear your opinions. We want listener questions too, like people asking us what our thoughts and stuff like that. I would like to start like a dialogue and stuff like that with people.
Absolutely.
So we can kind of bring that into the show too, where we talk to people who are listening. Let us know what you think of the skits.
Yeah, I mean, I want to hear that stuff. And I mean, Dave and I don't want to talk to just each other. I mean, I could talk to Dave every day, but at the same time, we want to talk to you. We want to know what you're thinking. What's in your heart? I got really, never mind. I forgot the lady's name. Check us out on Twitter. I started Instagram. I haven't really got it up and running yet. Same thing with Facebook, only, you know, it's kind of in the early stages. Soon you'll be able to find this podcast on Anchor. I just switched to Anchor with my podcast via VHS. We're doing the same thing with Good Morning Mos Eisley. If you listen on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, whatever you listen to, you'll still find us there. Nothing's going to change, but you can also find us on Anchor. So anchor.fm if you want to go check us out. That'll probably start this week. So we'll be moving the podcast over there. Great community over there. If you're a podcaster, you're looking for a place to meet other podcasters. I'm really impressed with Anchor so far, so definitely check us out there. But definitely tell us what you think about the skits. Look out for some new voices too. I think you both, Dave and I, want to get some pals of ours that we know love Star Wars like we do on the show, and get them involved with this too. So,
and we're doing a lot of like rumors and news and stuff like right now, because we are in that time in Star Wars. But There will also be times, and I'm sure it's coming soon with some episodes, where we're going to want to like spotlight different aspects of Star Wars fandom, video games, collectibles, stuff like that. So that's where you'll start hearing those other voices come in. And when we have sometimes maybe an axe to grind with something in Star Wars that we just want to discuss, we might get like a panel discussion going as well and bring that on too.
That would be good. We need to find some TLJ haters and bring them on here and have a nice, healthy, you know, kind of this round table discussion.
If the internet's told me anything, that is impossible, sir. You ask for the impossible.
I do, but I that's what I do. So, yeah, I dream big. But anyway, thank you for listening to Good Morning, Mos Eisley. And as always, may the force be with you.